Hey everybody, I just thought I'd let you all know, if you weren't aware, that the Blind Geek Zone is now running a podcast. I have been running this now for, oh, I don't know, about 2 weeks, and it's going pretty good, getting a lot of hits from it. So apparently a lot of you are interested in the podcast feed. If you'd like further information on my podcast information, you can get it at the website at www.blind-geek-zone.net. If you press the headings key, the H key, until you get to my audio files, and then start cursoring down, you will
You
find
have mail.
the link to the podcast. You can simply copy, cut and paste that link into the podcast catcher of your choice, juice or whatever you happen to use. And all of my new files that I do as of, like I said, the last couple of weeks will go up on the podcast feed as well as being downloadable from the site. Seems to be a lot of interest in that, so I'm going to keep that feed going. It kind of was a test just to see if it could be done, and it can. So, it's my intent to go ahead and leave that running, and I'll be providing content to it, such as the podcast I'm doing right now. This is just a general discussion that I'd like to do every so
You have
often,
mail.
maybe every few days or once a week or whatever, when I have something interesting to talk about. That isn't necessarily, a tutorial or whatever. And I'll continue to post them on the site as well. You can download them under the audio section. And, just something I want to toy with. I know other podcasters have general comments podcasts and things like that, that they want to talk about to their audience. So I thought I'd give it a try. Yeah, we'll see how it goes. I'm not the best speaker, but hey, we'll give it a try, and you guys can all let me know what you think of it. But I don't have a whole lot this week to talk about. I guess one of the things I would like to talk about is that I notice this on the lists a lot. People asking about Outlook Express and compacting files, or people ending up getting error messages from Outlook Express over time because they haven't compacted their files. I've noticed that a lot of people just simply do not have any desire whatsoever to compress their files. They don't know what it means, they don't know what it does, and they don't care. It's just that simple. And I see it on the list, time and time again. Why do I have to do this? Why does OE keep asking me this? Okay, guys and gals, let me explain it to you. What compacting or compressing the files does on Outlook Express is that as you use Outlook Express and you delete messages in it that you don't want, they're not 100% deleted. There's a deleted folder that once the files are deleted from it, they disappear. You don't see them anymore. So one would figure, and I can understand why one would figure this, if they're gone, they're gone. But kind of like in Windows, when you delete a file, the file goes into the trash can. The major difference with Windows and Outlook Express is that Windows, you can see the files that have been deleted. You can see the trash can. You see it sitting there, and you can go into it and see what's sitting in it, and you can delete it. No big deal. But in Outlook Express, even though you've deleted a file, it's actually
Yeah.
physically still out there in your deleted items file on the computer, and it's taking up more and more of hard disk space on the computer. I've seen in the past when I've worked on people's computers where they'll have 3, 4, 5, gigs of stuff in that folder, and they're wondering why OE is being so sluggish or why OE is crashing or why, they're out of disk space or whatever. But you have to do a compress on Outlook Express in order to get rid of all of this. So if you go up to File and Folders
You have mail.
and go into Folders and then go to Compress All, then what this does is it actually takes and clears up all the holes on any of these folders that you've created. And that's important. It makes Outlook Express run better. It takes up less disk space. Your stuff's more secure because your messages are actually gone that you've deleted and thought were gone in the first place, but they weren't actually. And what a lot of people have said is, hey, Outlook Express is going to nag at you until you do compress. It's going to come up every time. Hey, you want to compress? Hey, you want to compress? So you got to do it. I know you guys all hate to do it, but it's no big deal. Most machines are fast enough anymore that it only
You have
takes
mail.
less than a minute. And if you're running an old machine, it takes or can take a while longer. But for the most part, machines nowadays are going to do it pretty quick. And from what I've heard, if you do a compress, it's not going to nag you again for, I guess, 100 runs. I guess that's what it is. There's no way to set that anywhere in the settings, but that's what I've been told from others out on the list. So, it's a good thing. Get in the habit of doing it. I do it on my computer pretty much every day. It just results in Outlook Express running better, and it's more secure. So hopefully, by me saying this, it's a little bit better understood what the process is and why it needs to be done, and not just think of it as a
You
nag,
have mail.
because it's really not a nag. It is important to do. And I guess that's about it. I haven't seen a whole lot else to comment on this week, and nothing much is going on here. I did want to thank all of you for visiting the website. The website's become very popular. I'm getting, roughly 1,000 plus unique hits a month from visitors. Downloads for January 2007 were over 19 gigabytes. So obviously, the site is doing well, and I wanted to thank everybody for visiting. All the comments that I'm getting, are very positive. I'm glad everybody likes the tutorials and everything, and I'm glad I'm able to help, people learn things, and it's been a lot of fun doing it, and I've enjoyed it a lot. So
You have
just
mail.
wanted to thank everybody, for coming to the site, and hope you'll keep coming. I did want to say a few things about Vista. I had put up a podcast a couple days after Vista launched and gave my thoughts on it. There was another message going around on some of the lists about upgrading to Vista and concerns about performance degradation and copyright protection, content protection, and people seem to think that it was a big reason not to go to Vista. And there was a website that had a message post on it that caused all this.
Heading level 1, the cost analysis of Windows Vista content protection.
It was called a cost analysis of Windows Vista content protection. And it was by a guy in New Zealand, I guess a rather reputable source of information.
Link Peter Gutman.
His name was Peter Gutman. And he went on at length about all the new things in Vista that would cause costs of video cards and things like that to skyrocket because of the enhanced protection that Vista offers for DVD, or not DVD, but HD DVD and Blu-ray DVD content protection, you know, so that the stuff, you know, can't be ripped off, you know, like everything else is today. You know, there's just continuing efforts to stop piracy, you know, and I understand all that, and, you know, it's a big, sticky, messy topic, you know, that nobody, you know, nobody wants their stuff to be copy protected and, you know, all that, but, you know, I'm not going to get off on that rant. But, basically, you know, he was saying it was going to cause a lot of trouble, it's going to cause a lot of system degradation, going to cause, you know, your drivers to be revoked, and you know, your audio and video content to be degraded when, you know, protected content was being played. And then later, there were a couple podcasts on the Leo Laporte podcast. I don't have that address, unfortunately. It's in my juice, so I don't. But Leo was he did Call for Help and Screensavers on Tech TV, which is now G4 on satellite and cable, and you know, so he's pretty well known, and, you know, a really good source of information. And he was talking on his Security Now podcasts with Steve Gibson from Gibson Research, who is a another excellent source of information. You know, he's very reputable and, you know, well known in the industry, and he's a security expert, more or less. And they were talking about all this and for 2 or 3 podcasts, and then here just recently Microsoft had a you know, more or less a rebuttal to it, and pretty much I think a lot of it was hype. You know, there is going to be content protection in Vista, but it's not going to degrade audio and video quality on everything, as was first reported. You know, it's just going to affect, you know, audio quality and video quality of the protected content if it's not, you know, if you don't have the proper rights to play it. And so, you know, it was causing a lot of messages to go around, and, you know, a lot of comments to be made, you know, out on the internet. And, you know, I originally thought, oh boy, this is going to be a bunch of crap, you know, but after I've heard a lot of this, a lot of it's hype. It's really a lot of hype. I don't think it's going to cause a great deal of concern, you know, if you have an HD DVD or a Blu-ray DVD on your PC and you're running Vista. you know, while those things are going on, you know, the system may not be able to do a whole lot else, you know, because of protection that's going on. But, you know, hey, most people, if you're sitting there watching a high-def movie or whatever, you know, you're not going to be wanting to write email or doing this or that anyways in the background. So, you know, it's just my thoughts that it's really a bunch of hype. But, you know, a lot of people out on the mailing list are saying, oh, you know, Vista's going to be a bunch of crap. You know, now they're trying to screw us again and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I understand Microsoft's rights to, you know, attempt to appease the movie industry, you know, to take steps to make sure that their movies are not ripped off. You know, I understand all that, and I'm not going to get into a discussion of, you know, whether we should be allowed to do it or not, you know, because that's just going to start a big war and it's not necessary. But you know, my first thoughts on Vista still are pretty much as they were. I'd say if you're going to buy a new computer and it's got Vista on it, you know, once FS releases JAWS 8.1, which is supposed to happen any time now here in early February, that, you know, everything's going to be fine. I wouldn't worry about it. You know, people are concerned about, you know, the screen reader is going to turn off the enhanced desktop, the Aero desktop, the 3D desktop that Vista uses. And there's concerns out on the list that, oh, if this happens, then, you know, well, we're not going to be able to work because, you know, people are not going to be able to see it the same, and an application's going to need it, and it's going to cause problems, and it's just yet another reason why we're not going to be able to stay competitive with sighted people, you know, out in the workplace. And I don't know. I think that's a bunch of hype, too, because I can't picture, especially in a business, I can't picture any application that would require the Aero desktop to be functional. I just, you know, maybe if you're tech support and, you know, your tech support for sighted users, maybe it could be a problem. I don't know, but it just doesn't seem to me that it's that big a deal. And I don't see the screen readers being able to have all of that stuff on anyways, because it's just going to get in the way and it's going to cause problems. So, you know, I agree, it does pretty much have to be turned off. And I really don't see where this is going to cause any big deals, you know, in the workplace, you know, that's going to cause any blind person not to be able to work because Vista and JAWS, you know, JAWS is turning off, you know, Vista's eye candy. I just don't see it. So, I don't know. But my thoughts are still the same on Vista. I'm not really ready to do it yet. I would like to get a copy of it just to see how it does perform. But, you know, I think I'd pretty much just stick to it on the new computers. From what I've heard, you know, the look and feel can be pretty much made to be like XP. So it's not going to really be that big a deal. It's supposed to be a lot more secure. I think, you know, security is going to be a lot better in Vista than it has been with any of the other Microsoft OSs in the past. So, you know, that can only be good for us. We may not be able to make full usage out of some of the other goodies that Vista has to offer, but as for myself, you know, security is important, and, you know, that's should be of high importance to everybody. And I don't have a whole lot else on Vista at this point. I really don't have any more information than I did a week ago. Just kind of listening to rants and gripes out on the list, and just thought I'd comment a little more about it. But that's about it. Hopefully I'll have something soon. I would like to get Vista to at least evaluate it so I could do some podcasts on you know, how JAWS works with it and stuff. But I probably won't be switching to it anytime soon on my systems here. Okay, well, that's about it for this first just general podcast. You know, my comments, gripes, and rants session, I guess we could call it. This is number one. But thanks for listening. Hope it's been helpful. And I'll talk to you soon.